Welcome to My University Life podcast series. These podcast series are brought to you by the Student Advice Centre here in DCU. They aim to explore how students can flourish at university. Hello there, and welcome to My University Life podcast series, brought to you by the Student Advice Centre here in DCU. My name is Connor Wilkinson, and I will be joined by my fellow colleague Sean MacRistard from Friantor Scoil na Gaeilge. We will be discussing the topic of going beyond your comfort zone and how we as students encountered many challenges and exciting times and how we dealt with that. I'm just going to introduce you now to Sean. Hello, Sean. How are you today?
I'm well. Thanks for having me, Connor.
Not at all. Thanks for joining here. So we're just talking here about students going beyond their comfort zone. And that could mean anything from social activities to study, anything like that regarding their student experience here at DCU. Now, I remember when I was studying in UCD many moons ago, longer than you, John, that I was quite introverted at first, and I found it difficult to kind of come out of certain familiar territory. So I kept with a certain amount of friends that I knew from home. I went to my lectures, very compliant in that way. Not all the time understanding those lectures, but I went anyway. And I found things really challenging, like public transport. I wouldn't be used to it on a daily commute as I was. So getting a bus or getting a train, the anxiety about making sure I was there on time, getting the right bus to get in at the right time, and trying to get into the library, those type of things, first of all, caused me great anxiety, you know. So I tried to prepare myself as best I could for that. But as the years went on, especially in first year, I found I had to rejig a couple of things. So I had to say, right, well, I'm going to need a social life here as well. So I'm going to have to start meeting people. And at first it was very, you know, ridden with anxiety. How do I do that? Like, do I just go up and talk to people? Do they think I'm going to be a big weirdo? How do I do that? You know? And I found joining societies a great help in that regard. So I joined the History Society. I joined the LNH Debating Society at the time. And as daunting as that sounded, I was just participating in seeing debates happen. I didn't have to do them. You know, you were encouraged to do them, but it was an easy way to go in and meet people and discuss things and see other people in action as well. And then there were a few social things like coffee or, you know, meeting someone in the student bar at the time as well. And that kind of helped me, you know, ease out of my comfort zone. And it wasn't easy at first. You know, there were little false starts, you know, the odd awkward introduction to another student and them looking at me, particularly, you know, funny looks, you know, say, who are you and why are you talking to me? Yeah. But I did find, if I kept going at it, I found someone who, you know, I gelled with. And once that first time had happened, it happened with many other people as well. And some people, you know, I stopped, you know, socializing with, not through any, you know, bad reason. It's just, you know, you find who you gel with, who you don't gel with. And people are transient. We go in and out of each other's lives the whole time. So that was okay. I accepted that. And I met with a load of my friends who are lifelong friends with me now, you know, decades later. And we're all doing different things. So I'll move on to after college and what I did there in that sense. But you, John, or Sean, you encountered a big thing about coming out of your comfort zone, and that was about spending a year or two abroad. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so like, I suppose during my PhD, and this was a kind of as part of my PhD, I suppose, in a way, I applied to a fellowship with the Irish Canada University Foundation, and that kind of let me go abroad, go to Canada for a year to teach Irish, which is kind of a strange thing in and unto itself. So I went over to Canada, went to a place called Fredericton, which is a very small, kind of probably the size of Athlone or Drogheda, kind of a provincial town, very small town, you know, not a huge amount of people. So because of that, coming out of that comfort zone was a big deal because I had to make friends and I had to make social circles and I had to get on with my colleagues. So that was really, it was really tough going. So not only was I kind of like moving in towards kind of like, you know, moving into a new, you know, community, but it was also for the first time a part of a team, a part of a, you know, in a professional capacity. So I had all these things happening all around me, and it was quite, you know, there was a lot of anxiety around it. But the big thing that I kind of did, I suppose, and what I said to myself when I got on the plane was like, right, this is up to you now. You know, no one's going to be there holding your hand. Your mom or your dad aren't going to be there to tell you what to do or who to talk to or how to present yourself. So I had to kind of, I suppose, in a way, create a persona that might not have been completely, you know, true to myself.
Yeah.
In that I had to kind of let on nearly that I was, you know, really confident, really chatty, really wanted to, you know, talk to people.
Yeah.
Whereas inside I was probably, you know, dying with nerves and anxiety ridden. But that's what I did. And, you know, it worked.
Did you find it difficult? You know, I mean, one minute you're in a very, you know, you're in your home or you're in your home university and you know, it's all familiar. You got used to that. You know, traveling such a far distance and landing yourself in an area that you don't know anyone. You know, you might have corresponded with people through email, so you had, you know, contact there. And then having to stand in front of a classroom and teach, you know, Irish, which isn't the easiest subject, no matter how, you know, proficient you are in it. Not the easiest subject to learn, and it's not the easiest subject to teach. So how did you get on standing in front of, you know, a load of people very close in age to yourself at that time?
I think I might have been 22, 23. So, I mean, the age gap would have been quite small between me and maybe the youngest person even in the class who might have been 17, 18. So it was only maybe 4 or 5 years. But to them, obviously, I was ancient. And I felt ancient at the time. I felt so old and so wise. But I think as a teacher and a lecturer generally, I think you can walk in, when you walk into a classroom, you do expect people to be nervous or to be a little bit apprehensive because they don't know who you are. They might not be comfortable with the subject. They might be coming in with baggage about the subjects. They might have, you know, preconceived ideas about the subject and, you know, might think of it negatively, or they might have to do it. Some students had to do it as part of their BA. They had to take a language module and they just decided to go with Irish because French or German was full. So yeah, I mean, the nerves do come at the start of it. Like lecturers are nervous when they start a course and teachers are nervous generally when they meet a new group. But nervous because they want to make sure that you have the best experience and to make sure that you get the most out of the course and that your teaching skills are up to par, you know, up to scratch and that you're able to, you know, really do what you can to make sure that you bring them along to make sure that they get the grades that they deserve. But so I think for me, realizing and acknowledging that they're nervous, I suppose what happens there is that when somebody else is maybe more nervous than you, that you tend to kind of start looking after them. You kind of become a little bit of a caretaker in a way. Like, you know, you kind of feel like, oh, I have to look after this group. And then I suppose that part of teaching I really enjoy. I really enjoy kind of looking after my students and getting to know them personally. And that's what happens, you know? So that's what happened in that instance. I got to know my students. They got to know me. And because of that, there was a very relaxed but professional kind of atmosphere in the classroom.
And tell me, Sean, when you talked there about certain students having to take, you know, a module and, you know, for all sorts of reasons, they find themselves taking one that they mightn't have chosen at their first preference, but they had to take it. Did any of the students explain to you, you know, obviously that was their time of coming out of a comfort zone, doing something that was very much unknown to them. Did any of them express to you, you know, at the beginning or after they had this experience, how nervous they were or how they got around or how they eased into the subject once they started to learn it?
I've kind of met so many different learners and types of learners over the years. And I think one thing that that does kind of crop up an awful lot with Irish particularly and with spoken Irish particularly is that people are nervous and that people come in with an anxiety about making a fool of themselves in front of people or not knowing something or saying something incorrectly.
Yeah.
And that's a common theme that goes throughout all of my teaching experience is the fact that people are nervous when it comes to either whether they're ab initio, like whether they're learning from scratch, like which was the case in Canada, or like they were, you know, they might have done the Leaving Cert here in Ireland, you know. So you've got different types of learners, but different anxieties around that. And the one thing I always say to people is that, and I think this holds true up until graduation, even masters, PhDs, and beyond, even in the workforce, is that like you're allowed to ask questions, and sometimes, depending on the environment, you're allowed to come across as a bit silly or you know, not the most knowledgeable in a subject area. Sometimes you have to fake it to make it. But it's also good. But it's also really good to just say to maybe a peer or to your manager or to your lecturer or whoever it is, do you know what? I don't really know this. I'm not comfortable in this particular field, or I'm not comfortable in this. You know, what can I do to improve my skills? Mm. And that kind of comes up an awful lot.
And that's a key thing, because we were discussing that in another podcast. The reaching out for help, you know, not feeling silly or feeling that you're going to be, you know, the reaction's going to be awful and you're going to feel that sense of humiliation, you know. And we always go back to it's important to ask questions when you're not comfortable in an area or you're experiencing something and you're having difficulty. And, you know, once you've done that, once you've, you know, not been as tough on yourself or imagining, you know, the scenario, you know, the outcome of that, you realize it's actually okay to ask these questions, and it's okay to be new to something, you know, that people aren't judging you from the very beginning, that you might feel exposed. I felt like that, you know, when I was beginning my social, you know, creep into unknown territory, you know, I felt like I was like this transparent person. Everybody could see my emotions. Everybody could see my thoughts. Everybody could see my nerves. And it wasn't the case. And because I was so concentrating on how I felt in that situation, I wasn't really aware that there were other people exactly like me feeling exactly the same way, you know? So, you know, when you realize that, you know, things aren't as daunting, you know, as they were before.
Yeah. And I think, you know, some people are better at hiding the fact that they're nervous or just getting on with it. I remember like just sitting in tutorials, I found more difficult than lecture theatres, because you're expected to be, you know, you're expected to you know, ask questions and answer questions or read passages or whatever. You had to be kind of a part of the group. And I found that particularly hard at the start, that interactivity I felt was a little bit nerve-wracking. Mm. But I kind of felt as well that if I started to ask questions or if somebody else began to ask questions, then I'd feel more comfortable in asking asking something. So I think that's really important as well, that you might feel really nervous about asking a question, but more than likely there are at least four or five other people in a small tutorial group who have the same exact same question but might be too nervous to ask it. Yeah. And maybe they'd be even too nervous to approach the lecturer after the tutorial or after the lecture. And that's a big thing as well, because you want to make sure that students are comfortable around us, that they're able to ask us questions, and then any, you know, issues that they might have about the module or the subject, that they'd be able to talk to their lecturer about it in confidence, whether it's about the subject or if it's about something else. So that's important, that we're there to look after the students. But I recognize and understand that, like, you know, putting the student hat on, I felt that way when I was an undergrad, and that definitely stayed with me until even third year. I felt I was a little bit nervous at the start, but as time went on, I was well able then to ask questions and be more interactive in groups.
Yeah, and that is true, like, because I mean, we're always at lengths to tell students, especially here in DCU, that the academic members of staff and the departmental staff who they might see at a front desk situation are here to help. You know, we want, you know, students to come and ask things and do it early, so that it isn't so much of a trial for the student to recover from an experience or, you know, missing out on a few lectures because they're so scared to go into them or they find them unpleasant. And if they interface with us at the very beginning or, you know, quickly after that, you know, we can allay some of that fear. We can explain things that they've assumed, you know, but, you know, it might be, an incorrect assumption. And by asking for help, you know, it can be given, you know, and it can be done privately as well. You don't have to stand up in the middle of a group if you're not comfortable and say, I don't know what you're talking about. I mean, many of us won't do that. You know, even to this day, I won't do it. But you can privately approach people, either your peers or your, you know, the lecturers or ourselves here in student advice, and just say, listen, I don't really have a handle on this. Is there anything I can do? Can you explain it better to me? Or is there anything I can do to improve on this experience to make it more enjoyable? And that's kind of really, you know, an important thing. Now, as I was explaining there in terms of, you know, being at college and all of that, even though it could be only 3 or 4 years and, you know, as you get older, 3 and 4 years is nothing. But because you're in university and it's a new beginning of your new life, it's such a formative time in your life that even now I look back and I can acutely remember my experience in university. And I do look back, you know, 99% of the time, great positive, you know, memories, great sense of bonding between friends and a chuckle at the odd, you know, antics I would have gotten up to as a student as well once I passed that social awkwardness. So, you know, I mean, it's important to, you know, to look at comfort zones and say, yeah, they are good. They're good to have. But, you know, if they stop you from enjoying something, if they stop you from that inner voice saying, there's more here, there's more here I could enjoy, then we really do need to kind of say, I'm going to have to step out here. And it's okay if it doesn't work out, you know, the first time or the second time or the third time. Eventually, things will work for them. And they'll work, they worked for me, they worked for you. And, you know, they worked, you know, together. And going out into a workforce, it's exactly the same thing. I mean, you had many posts, you know, before DCU. And each one was different. And, you know, just explain to us, other than the teaching in Fredericksburg in Canada, you know, how you grappled with that kind of going into the workforce and, you know, that's your first time, you know?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, and again, that whole idea of trying to go in and fake it till you make it, as I said before, but that kind of idea that you go in with a confident smile on your face and you hope for the best. And that's what a lot of people do. And, you know, and to kind of try to reach out and try to make friends. There's a lot of pieces to that whole puzzle when it comes to kind of starting a new job, because you want to be friendly to people, but you also kind of want to make sure that people know that you're there, that you're qualified, and that you deserve the position that you've been given. So there's two bits to it, that you want to make friends, but at the same time you want to make sure that you do a good job and that you're aware that your work is going to be judged under a microscope, maybe by others for a while anyway, until you establish yourself. So in all of my various different roles, I have found that, but I think I've gotten better when it comes to kind of making friendships quicker and, you know, and kind of trying to relax around people. It's something, again, that we all have to kind of tackle with at some stage in our life, whether it's starting in DCU as an undergrad student or a postgraduate student, whether it's, you know, starting a new job or moving house or whatever it is, or school. Like, I mean, we all go through these kind of changes in social settings, and it is kind of nerve-wracking at the start, but it does become easier as you get to know people. And I think one good thing about it is you do tend to find your tribe, and that's very kind of important. You tend to find those people that you kind of gel with, and building that social circle is really important. And not everyone gets, you know, that doesn't happen overnight for a lot of people. I mean, I remember the people that I used to hang around with in my first maybe 4 or 5 weeks of university have disappeared off the face of the earth for all I know. I don't know who they are. I couldn't even name them, to be honest. Do you know what I mean? But like, at the time, they were so important to me, do you know? And then I made friends with other people who I really got on well with, and that kind of group formed and really clicked. And, you know, what are we like, is it... 15 years later, is it, or so? Like, we're still friends.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Well, 15 years next year, we're still good friends with each other. Yeah, so that's really important as well. And the social side of university is more nearly as important as the academic.
And that's what I found as well. You know, I mean, it doesn't have to be a huge group of people. That's important as well, because people sometimes think, I find it difficult to mix with people. I only have 2 or 3 or even 4 friends I can count on. Well, that's brilliant. I mean, because chances are, as you go through life, there will only be, you know, a constant of 3 or 4 or 5 friends, you know, in your immediate kind of circle that you can tap into. And then you have friends that you mightn't have talked to in a number of years, and you just pick up where you left off. And that's another sign of true friendship. And, you know, and so it's important not to measure yourself against other people. You know, some people can go into bars and they can go into nightclubs and they can go, you know, join societies. They may seem like they know everybody and, you know, they're so popular. And sometimes, you know, another person might look at them and think, well, is that what it is to be sociable? I mustn't be very sociable. I must have a problem. And it's not the case. You know, I mean, you don't need, as you said, you need your tribe. And, as I said, to myself back in the day, we're all a little crazy. You just have to find your brand of crazy, Once you found your brand of crazy, you'll find your fellow tribe, and that's important, as well. And I remember, I had, by and large, great jobs, but I also faltered in a lot of those great jobs. I remember I worked as an archaeologist. I found that really great and interesting, and social-wise, it was brilliant. But then I moved on to this huge, road scheme, and I thought I'd be overviewing archaeology, and I thought, okay, I know about archaeology, so that'll be okay. And when I started, the chief, engineer turned around and said, no, you're the equivalent of a resident engineer. You will be measuring their work. You will be approving their payments. And they pay, the first payment was like something like 500,000. Well, I nearly had a nervous breakdown. I was curled up into a ball, I'm only 24 years of age. What are you doing to me? This kind of thing. And I would be honest, I did have wobblers. I remember one time breaking down crying, saying, I'm a failure. I can't do this. I'm going to be, I'm going to make things worse. And I didn't, I prevailed. And for 10 years, I was able to work in that area and believe in myself. And, and there's always going to be a bit of self-doubt. Even to this day, I have self-doubt. Even to this day, I have anxiety about fitting in when I'm changing places or new environments. And it's okay to feel like that. It's okay to do that. So long as you are staying the course. Now, it's also important that if things are having a detrimental effect on your well-being to a point where to get out of that situation, it's just as courageous to end something as it is to, break through something. So it's about listening to your inner self. It's about really listening to yourself and saying, look, is this a wobbler moment? Or is it an actual moment where I, I'm going to really suffer here? So, it's important to understand the difference between those two things. And that brings me on to just two books I'd like to recommend. And I don't know, Sean, you might have heard them as well. One is called Thinking Fast and Slow, and it's by Daniel Kahneman. And he's a Nobel Prize in economics, but he's also fantastic at working out those kind of, situations of how the brain works and reacts. And a second one is by Professor Steve Peters, and it's called The Chimp Paradox. Now, it might sound funny, but it's about mind management. And it explains how from an early age, we live in our jungle, like an evolutionary type situation. And, what's our immediate threat? What's our reaction to those immediate threat? And we bank that in what's called the computer. But then there's the human, there's the intellectual, there's the person who rationalizes things. So the chimp and the human are always in competition to bank their memories or their programming into the computer. And the chimp, that emotional part that causes us fear, anger, anxiety, it's a strong, element of ourselves. And Peters explains that you can never banish the chimp, and you shouldn't either, because it's part of you. But you can negotiate with it. The human can negotiate with the chimp. Now, if the human can do that and bank that good experience in the computer, another situation that comes up, the computer will know how to respond. Your memory bank will know how to respond, and that way. And that's what happens in comfort zones. When we have good experience, when we challenge ourselves, the next comfort zone that we're in, we need to break out. There's that residue of experience that's banked in the computer, and we can get out of that situation easier each time. And I think that's it. Sean, do you have anything else to add here to our listeners before we sign off here?
I don't think so. I think the main thing is to remember that this isn't something that you're going to, achieve in at university or whatever, of getting out of your comfort zone, but it's a lifelong skill that you have to master, because you're going to constantly be putting yourself in new situations, and you should constantly be putting yourself into new situations, meeting new people, trying new things, and just going for it. Like, so I think that that's important as well to note.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a brilliant way to end off this podcast. So, from myself and Sean McReistert, I'm Connor Wilkinson from Student Advice Centre. We'd like to thank you for listening, and hopefully you'll continue to listen to these podcasts and you'll find them interesting and helpful. Take care for now, and looking forward to contributing again. We hope you've enjoyed these podcasts and that you have found them useful. Remember, here at DCU, this is your Student Advice Centre, and we are here to assist you with any concerns, small or large, during your studies. To learn more information about your Student Advice Centre, please visit www.dcu.ie/advice.